This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
How would you like 5 weeks of annual leave compared to the usual four? Well, now the Shop Distributive and Allied Employees Association is pushing for an extra week of annual leave. And Jeff Borland is a professor of economics at the University of Melbourne. Jeff, welcome to Drive.
Hi, Warren.
Jeff, some workers already have 5 weeks, don't they? Well, typically, what sort of workers have 5 weeks now?
So the main group of workers who've had 5 weeks for some time are shift workers. If you work outside regular hours on a regular basis, then you're entitled to 5 weeks of annual leave. Return for the sort of onerous work conditions that you have. More recently, there's other workers who are gaining 5 weeks. There's been agreements between employers such as Bunnings, Big W, Apple and IKEA with their employees to shift to 5 weeks of annual leave as well.
For the rest of us, 4 weeks has pretty much been the standard for a long time. When was the last time we saw a change in the amount of annual leave available?
So the last time was actually 50 years ago, 1974. Yeah.
No wonder we're all tired.
Well, and it's interesting, a week of annual leave as an entitlement was first gained by most workers in 1941. And then sort of in that next 33 years, it was adjusted to 2 weeks and 3 weeks and then to 4 weeks in 1974. So the fact that it's remained at 4 weeks for some time, it was sort of a break in the pattern which had been established sort of up until 1974.
So based on, I suppose, that time frame, we really should be up to about 7 weeks, shouldn't we, by now?
If you were continuing that pattern. I mean, yeah, it has to be said that we have gained some extra public holidays during that time. So, annual leave is usually kind of put together with public holidays to think about the sort of total amount of leave time from work that you have. And so we have added public holidays, but yeah, not to the sort of not annually, which I guess is different and important in the sense that its timing can be more used flexibly sort of compared to the public holidays.
Now, Jeff, I imagine I can see employers already saying, oh no, it will impact productivity negatively. Is that the case, or could it actually improve productivity if we had 5 weeks instead of four?
Well, yeah, I think the studies that are out there suggest that it would actually, if anything, it's going to increase productivity in terms of the amount of output, the value of output per hour of labour. I guess the usual sort of channels for that to happen are seen as being that if people are going to get more leave time, they might be more focused on their work during the work time. They're going to turn up at work, sort of fresher, able to produce higher quality output. So usually it's thought that the effect, if anything, would be to increase productivity. Where the concern for employers would be is in terms of the increase in labour costs. So if nothing else happened and we went to an extra week of annual leave, then essentially to get sort of 48 weeks of labour for someone, instead of paying for 52 weeks, you'd be paying for 53 weeks, which would be about a 2% increase in labour costs. But it needn't be that high. As you just mentioned, there are potentially productivity offsets against that. If you think about sort of regular adjustments to sort of wages and benefits over several years, it could be that this was given in 1 year partially offsetting sort of wage increases, which would have otherwise been given. The Productivity Commission about a decade ago, when they suggested that there should be regular reviews of annual leave, they suggested that maybe one quid pro quo for getting an extra week of annual leave would be to remove a couple of public holidays. In particular, sort of, I guess they pointed to state-based public holidays, which they say sort of are very disruptive and can be costly to national employers.
Like the AFL one, the grand final one.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example of sort of one that's a state public holiday that other states don't get, sort of. And so if you're a national employer, then you can have sort of one office closed, other offices open, sort of, which can be problematic.
We're chatting with Jeff Borland, Professor of Economics at the University of Melbourne, about the benefits of increasing annual leave to 5 weeks. Jeff, I know, look, I suppose as a worker myself, I know that if I had an extra week of annual leave, I'd be a lot happier. I could potentially take two decent holidays per year. I can guarantee my output would be a lot better. Definitely. I mean, if we look at that across the board, surely that is an incentive for people to go ahead and say 5 weeks is better.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely worth, the proposal from the SDA is definitely worth sort of considering seriously. Yeah, historically, as we were talking about at the start, so over time we've had big improvements in productivity. Workers, should share in the benefits of that increase in productivity. And the way that happens is, usually through increases in wages and sort of other types of monetary benefits. But for that period from the 1940s to 1970s, also a really important way that workers benefited from their increased productivity was through being given sort of extra time off from work. People value, I guess, if you get extra income, then you can afford to buy more things. But yeah, we know that people also value just the time to do their own thing. And so, it's given that there are those sort of two values, both from consuming things but also from leisure time, and given that we haven't really adjusted the leisure time for so long, I think, that's kind of my basis for thinking that it's timely to think about this again.
Jeff, of course, it wouldn't necessarily impact casual workers, would it, in terms of getting time off? Or would the casual workers tend to be happier because they might get to fill in the gaps when the others are taking that extra week of leave?
So, that's a really important point, Warren, because, I guess when we talk about who has the entitlement to 4 weeks at the moment, it's important to say that, of course, it's when we say most of us have 4 weeks annual leave, what we mean is most of us who are permanent employees have 4 weeks annual leave, because casual employees don't have the entitlement to annual leave. They instead receive what's known as the leave loading, generally about 25%, in lieu of getting the entitlement to sort of annual leave and also sort of other conditions. And so it would be really important in considering an increase in annual leave to make sure that casual workers aren't disadvantaged, aren't left behind by that. The SDA proposal, in fact, was for or is for there to be an adjustment in the casual loading of 2%, which is about, as I said before, what the cost to employers of the extra annual leave for permanent employees would be. But there is also some evidence from Australian studies of casual workers not always appearing to get the loadings that they should be. And so, if we're adjusting annual leave for permanent employees, then it may also be a time to sort of, rethink again sort of the types of benefits that we're providing to casual employees.
Jeff, just before we let you go, do you know if are we seeing an increase in the number of casual workers? Is there a trend towards from full-time towards casual, or are things pretty static?
The number of casual employees has been, this is kind of a much debated topic, and it kind of depends. You get people arguing that casual employment's increased and people saying casual employment's remain pretty stable, and it really depends on kind of what time period you start from. There was a big increase in the proportion of employees who were casual in the, and I should say casual, the main the way we define casual is, the way the ABS defines it, which is where we get the data from, is employees who don't have those leave entitlements. So that group of workers, their proportion in the workforce increased quite a bit in the 80s through to the early 2000s. Since then, it's been relatively stable in the 20 to 25% range. So, there's been a lot of sort of tension to the issue of whether it's increasing or not increasing. I think, whether it has increased or it hasn't increased over particular time periods, it's an important fact that it's a relatively large proportion of employees who are casual, sort of being that 20 to 25%. So that makes it really, really important to remember those employees when we're talking about, an issue like adjusting the annual leave, which would sort of at the moment, the way sort of employment arrangements are structured, just apply to permanent employees. So whether it's increased or not, it's a sizable fraction, and so it's a fraction that we should definitely worry about.
Jeff, I like the idea of going to 7 weeks. Great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks very much, Warren.
Thank you. Jeff Ballen, Professor of Economics at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.